Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to episode 47 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 4th of August, 2010. Thank you once again for joining us. And as you know, as we told you in the past, the next couple of shows can be a little bit different because we're on our holidays in Disney World, different places like that. And it means that we're not going to be able to bring you our usual news and rumours. So we've got three segments for you today. The first one is called our Disney Bucket List. The things that we haven't done in Disney World that we'd like to do before we pop our clogs. So we're going to go through our top 10 of each of those. We're then going to bring back a segment that we did just over a year ago. The first show Craig was ever on, he brought a segment called How to Beat the Heat in Walt Disney World. And what with it being a scorching summer in Florida again, we've brought that back so you can hear that again. And then to finish off the show, we have got Juzzy's Disney Island Discs. We're bringing Disney Island Discs back and you'll be able to hear just what Juzz's Disney Island Discs are. So, without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast. Those of you who are a little older in life may know about The Bucket List. And there was a film called The Bucket List out last year, which is a list of things that you want to do before you die. And we've decided that we're going to give you our Walt Disney World Bucket List, which are the things that we haven't done in Walt Disney World that we'd like to do before we die. And we've made the list things that we can possibly do. Not things like, I don't know, I'd like to fly down the wire as Tinkerbell once.
You can do that.
You can do that.
If you can dream it, you can do it, Adam. Be fair. Right, well,
Some of mine are like that.
We put down the ones that we think...
with our current attributes.
Basically, that we can actually do. So I've got my top 10. Jess has got his. Craig's got his. We've got some people on the forum that put theirs on as well. So we're going to have a look at those and we're going to discuss them, basically, and see what we come up with. So we'll go around in order then. And let's Craig start us off. What is your number 10 on your bucket list?
Okay, I've got to kind of put mine in some sort of order because they were scored on a notepad. But I think, you know, one, I've got them in varying degrees of difficulty. They're all achievable. Depending on, you know, how I shake my fang during my next, you know, 40, 50 years on this planet. But one that is possibly very achievable that I could do tomorrow if I got round to it was to do a Segway tour.
Okay.
Which is something I've always wanted to do. I don't know whether I'd do it at Epcot or...
off-road at Woodman's Lodge.
Yeah, I think I'd probably do it at Epcot, to be fair, just because you get there early doors and you get to have a nose round. So, yeah, that's one thing that I can do and should do.
Cool. Okay, what have you got, Joseph? Your number 10.
Mine are in no particular order, and some probably are unachievable. No, they're not unachievable. They're achievable if I bribe people. do you know, one of the ones I did think of, and I did put down first, and I got rid of was, yeah, I'd like to be a worker in the living with a land ride. You know, in the bit where you're going through all the vegetation bit?
Mm-hmm.
But then when the boats come up, I'd like to pretend I got mangled and scream and get my arm trapped in something, and that would really freak all the riders out. But I moved that one off. That's just what I'd probably just like to do. Sticking with the Disney theme, and I went slightly out on this one, because this is probably the one which I left Disney parks a little bit, but I still believe it's the town that Disney built. I put Live in Celebration.
So that would be a number 10?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. That would be... Right, my number 10 is along the similar sort of vein
to Craig's, and that is to take the Keys to the Kingdom tour. I did the Backstage Magic tour last year. I've still not done Keys to the Kingdom. I would love to do it. And that was that's sort of the next thing on my list, really, to go and enjoy the Magic Kingdom fully. So I put that in my number 10. We've got some guys in the forum who responded to a post that we put up, which so far I've got three people who I'm going to point out to you. We've got Parker Pack, who's on here, which I think is Julie Parker, has put her number 10 as have a day's animation course, the ones that they used to do, I think, over at the Institute. Silver Spike has put meet all my favourite podcasters at Walt Disney World.
Just us, then.
That's just us, yeah. BCL 1973, which I think is Craig Lucas, put have my ashes scattered in the moat around the castle, which is fine, except that you're probably the person who is going to be arrested. I'd love to have my ashes scattered in Pirates of the Caribbean, but I have a horrible feeling that somebody might get in an awful lot of trouble for that.
I'd have somebody ride Space Mountain with mine in an open urn like the Cubs did on Jim Will Fix It and have them shake everywhere.
I think in reality there's probably more ashes scattered in Disney World than anyone ever thinks. That people take them in bags or whatever and do it. I'm sure it happens every
day. Do you think?
Yes. I could, when I pop my earthly coil and, you know, Tracy disappears over to, I'm sure she can take a little bag and scatter me somewhere in World Showcase. I think it happens all the time.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not convinced people, Disney survey people about, in the park today, did you scatter any ashes?
I don't know why Disney don't do it, because they could probably do a ceremony every X number of times where people could take down the urns and scatter them in a specific area.
Okay.
Scotty went to space. Why can't we go to Disney?
Well, there's no reason why we couldn't go to Disney. Right, okay, let's go on to number 9 then. What have we got, Craig?
Number 9, okay, is to actually, this is something I've always wanted to do and I never actually got around to doing it, is to take a ride in Breathless 2.
Oh, do you know, that's scary how close it is to mine. Breathless 2, okay. Do you want to explain what Breathless 2 is to people who...
Yeah, Breathless 2 is an extremely fast speedboat that you can... I mean, it's used in... is it used in Illuminations? It's used for one of the boat cruises in Illuminations, but you can just go down to the port where it is, which I can't remember where it is now, which hotel you go to get it. But you can just book it out and go out for a ride in it. And it's
down at the Beach Club, isn't it?
Down at the Beach Club, and it is flipping fast.
Yeah.
And they absolutely cane it around the kind of lakes and waterways with you on board. So it's something that, you know, I've done lots of little pedally boat things over there, and we had a lovely pontoon at the Polynesian last summer, but this is something that I've always wanted to do. It's quite expensive, that's why I haven't done it yet. It's more expensive, a lot more expensive than the other boats. But, you know, if it's there, you know, the skipper's there and he'll take you out. He'll take you and your family out for a ride on Breathless too. Get the front up and off you go. King of the river.
It does look awesome, and I have seen the boat up close, and you know, it does look a phenomenal boat, and it is fast. It really is very, very quick. You wouldn't want to get your hair done and then go out in it, because you'd look a mess when you came back. Jus, what you got as number 9?
See, yours are really boring, probably because I'm getting closer to the end of my life. Mine's a bit more meaningful of things to do as a true bucket list. I'd like to walk through Pirates.
Walk through Pirates?
And I know it's dumb, because we spoke to the young author man here of Kingdom Keepers, and it happened to him. So, yes, I'd like to walk through Pirates.
Walk through Pirates would be amazing. That would be cool, to be able to just experience that after hours and be able to walk through. Mine is going, mine's similar to Craig, which is going back to the water, which is do a fireworks cruise, which is something that I haven't done yet, purely for the fact of the expense. And normally when we've been, there's only two of us, and that works out quite expensive for two people. I know we considered doing it in the summer.
It's still expensive for six people.
So I'd love to do a fireworks cruise, but I still haven't done one. But it's definitely on my bucket list, and that's definitely something I want to do in the next couple of years.
Done it. It was amazing.
Yeah, you've done it, haven't you? So it'd be something that's definitely well worth doing, just to see Wishes.
Although, just to pick up on that, listening to another podcast, they said that the cruise at the moment sees Summer Night Fantastic Fireworks. The best place to see it is actually on the boat.
Oh, right.
And not in Magic Kingdom.
Because they have the perimeter fireworks.
Mm-hmm. So it might be worth you two reconsidering. Craig can afford it.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, Craig can afford it.
We have sponsorship, so we can go and do it.
No, because Craig's paying for our lunch at the Salian as well. So.
I believe that he's out of your credits.
No, he's not. That's a lie. Right, I'm going on the forums. Let's go over to Julie. She's put number 9. Play the drums in Japan. That's quite a cool one.
Yeah.
Scott, I think you might get arrested if you just went over and took your sticks off him. But play the drums in Japan would be quite cool. Silver Spike, we've got buy an expensive piece of art from the Art of Disney. That's a nice
one. Pinched one of mine.
Is that one of yours? Sorry.
Yeah, we'll get on to that.
Well, that's the joys of us not sharing our list before we do it, you see. And also, Craig Lucas has put, after I've won the lottery, take as many ill children as I can. That's quite cool.
That's a cool one.
That's a cool one. She's quite good. I like that. Right, let's head to number 8 then. Juz, what you got for number 8?
Mine's actually following the same theme. I'd like to work in Pirates for the Day on the dock. I just quite fancy that. I like the interaction with people. I'd like to work it. Work it, baby.
You gotta work it out. Because you're big for High School Musical fan.
High School Musical 2, then. I don't believe it's number 2. How did I know it was number 2? That's wrong. So you'd like to work in Pirates. Why Pirates in particular?
Because I love Pirates.
Oh, I know that.
Because it's a Pirate's Life for Jazz, isn't it?
It's a Pirate's Life for Jazz. I just think it'd be brilliant. I could do it. I could ham it up. And I think, you know, that's where I could do it. Well, one day.
One day he'd be the retired pirate with a wooden leg.
Well, if I'm going to live in celebration for 6 months of the year, then I'm quite prepared to go and work down there and do the odd bits and piece for.
I think that's no wage. For no wage. I should do it for free.
Free.
You know, that's cheap, because you can go seasonal. You just work one day a week.
Well, that's what I'm going to do. You know, if I could do, I could go down that. I said I'd like to do the winter side of it anyway, so we could do something with the house and rent it off in the summer when it's peak for the kids. Yeah. But go to Disney and just you know, there's a lot of old folk like me. Go down there and just do a bit of handy. I don't even mind.
Good idea.
If I survive that long.
Right, let's do it in a different order. Let's go over to our forum people. Okay, number 8, Julie's put, open a tea shop in England at Epcot.
Yeah,
how great would that be? A proper little English tea shop. So you'd go in and buy buns, and you know, it'd have floral 80s wallpaper, and you'd have Mrs. Overall from Victoria Wood. Have you seen that sketch with two feet? She'd work in there.
Open a greasy spoon in.
they are genuinely that. Julie, that is a genius idea. They are genuinely missing out on a massive amount of money not having a proper tea shop.
Cream teas,
a proper cup of English tea, English pastries, and all that sort of stuff. That'd be buttered hot cross buns. That'd be awesome.
Scones and jam.
There you go. Genius idea. You should do it. 8, Silver Spikes put Epcot every day. You'd live in Florida for at least 6 months and go to Epcot every day. There we go. And Craig's put, have dinner with Walt Disney. Yeah, Craig, I'm sorry to tell you, but he died a few
years ago. That's sort of like post bucket list, isn't it?
That's post bucket
list. You do that afterwards, mate. Yeah. Thank you from McDonald's.
He's already reserved his plot next to Walt's mansion in heaven. That's basically what he's saying. He can invite him out for dinner whenever he wants. You might be out of luck on number 8. Just a heads up now. I wouldn't go and ask if you can possibly do that when you get to Disney. I don't think it's going to happen. What have you got then for number 8, Craig?
I've done Keys to the Kingdom tour, I've done Backstage Magic tour, but I would like to kind of tick off all of the tours that they do and do all of them, you know, over a period of years. You know, I've got 50 years maybe before I leave this world.
You stop like bubbling it in about how long you've got left.
Well, you could have 50 as well, you know, I don't know. We'll say roughly, well, you know, we might all live forever, there might be magic pill soon. But no, I'd like to have done all of the tours and, you know, and experienced every kind of extra thing that they offer.
Okay, so every single tour?
Yeah.
All in one day.
Tours, do you also include the experiences of like diving with dolphins in Living Seas? So all of those.
The whole kind of extra things, you know, everything you can book on WDW tour, I would want to do. Bit okay. Like going to every kind of all the stakes, you know, you tick them all off. I want to tick them all off that I've done them all.
Cool. Okay, that sounds good. My number 8 is really simple, but yeah, something I've never experienced. It's supposed to be awesome. I want to ride Expedition Everest in the dark. I've never done it at night, because every time we've been and it's been open, it's been summertime and it's always been light when the park is shut. So I've always wanted to ride Expedition Everest in the dark. Okay, is that simple? Nothing difficult, nothing complicated. Right, number seven then. Let's go over to the forum. Number seven, we've got Spend a Night in the Castle from Julie. We've got See Yeehaw Bob. Man, if you've never, this is Silver Spike, if you've never seen Yeehaw Bob, you have to go. He is truly awesome. It is truly one of the best nights I've had in Disney. That man is just amazing. You two have both seen him, haven't you?
He's boss.
He's boss. In fact, I'm going to take my parents to come with me in October. We're going to go there for an evening, take them, because they'll love it. Yeah.
We went in last summer. I took Zoe and she was like, well, yeah, okay, I'll go. And it was one of the best nights we'd had out. It was just brilliant. It was so funny. We've heard his interview on the show. You've heard some of his show on our show as well. Just an absolutely brilliant guy. And you heard the voicemail on the end of last show as well, voicemail a while ago now, wasn't it? That we did that. So that was their number seven. And the other number seven here from Craig Lucas was do the Keys to the Kingdom tour. So he's joining me on that. So we're going to do that together. That's cool. What have you got for number seven, Jos?
You see, once again, I'm still probably slightly skew-iff from you guys who are doing more practical things, but I really would like to be a greeter for a day at Boardwalk.
Okay.
I just think it'd be cool. You know, dress me up and stand me there and I'll be as nice as possible, trying to make people's dreams come true. And, yeah, I'd like to be the greeter at Boardwalk.
Okay, that'd be cool. A bit like Art the Greeter.
But nowhere near as good as his standard, because he's like God in the greeter world, so...
Yeah, that's true. He is the king of the greeter world.
Yeah.
What would yours be, number seven, Craig?
I would like to be able to buy an original piece of art from the Art of Disney. A big, one of those big kind of $15,000 pieces of art that they have there that are just stunning. I would love one of those.
And then he could take it home and split it up into three pieces.
And hang it on the wall.
In a different order.
Yes. No, I'd love to. I mean, you know, I walk around there and I could spend, well, not say hours in that shop, but I could spend an awful long time in that shop looking around. And actually, we're going to go back in the summer because I don't know if you've noticed they've got the kind of the Disney artists there, and there's a number of kind of pencil drawings they'll do for you. Well, I bought some friends of mine, actually a few times that have been married, different friends, not the same friends being married a few times, nice pictures from there I've had framed with your wedding and so on. And actually, I'm going to get the kids one each for their new bedrooms here. So I'm going to have those kind of drawn and made. They're not that expensive to have drawn and put in a frame, so I'm going to get them those. But I want a kind of a proper piece of big art that they do there, you know, the one of a kind stuff. I'd love to have one of those. If I can't own it, I might go in after dark and steal it.
My number seven then is to play golf on all of the Disney golf courses, including the PGA ones. I knew that was coming. I'd love to do it. I'd absolutely love to do it. Oak Trail would be fine, but all of the others as well. The really expensive PGAs. I'd love to have a go.
Who you got for number six, Jazz?
That's it. But even, you know, you've got the Mickey shaped bunkers and all that sort of stuff. I'd love to play golf on a Disney golf course. Disney golf course. That'd be amazing.
Buy a game for PlayStation and get on with it.
Thanks. I'll leave you behind. But that'd be cool. Right, number six then. What have you got for number six, Jazz?
Why is it me again?
Craig, what's your number six, Craig?
Okay, I thought about this, and I've got work in Walt Disney World, but I was thinking about this. What I wanted, and this is something that I've really got to try and, you know, get together. I don't want to just go and work and, you know, work on an attraction for that. I want to have a job, you know, like an important job at Disney, to actually work and learn how it operates and help how it operates, and, you know, make it, not that you can improve in some bits, you can improve Paris quite a lot, but, you know, I really want to have a meaningful job in Walt Disney World. That's what I'd love to have.
Okay.
A vice presidency of something, you know, operations or something like that. Just something that you really can get, you know, you are the person that makes the park tick and make the world work properly. I don't really care what area it is, but, you know, I would love to be, you know, vice president of Magic Kingdom or something like that.
Vice president of restrooms.
Restrooms. Vice president of restrooms. Make sure they all flush in unison. to actually, you know, have part of my career is that I spend, you know, 10, 15 years working for Disney, you know, a nice, decent high level, and, you know, just really get involved and see so much that you wouldn't see if you, you know, as a guest, you just don't see, you know, how it absolutely all operates the Disney way. I'd love that.
That would be cool. What have you got for yours then, Jez?
Oh, right. This is probably my only one which actually sort of compared to some of yours before. Epcot Food and Wine, never done it. Would like to have a big wad of cash in my pocket, and I'd like to go around with Craig and eat. I just think it'd be cool, and hope one day I can do it.
We'd have to start in Mexico because that's the spiciest, wouldn't you, and go that way around.
I like spicy.
Yeah, that would be cool. Now, my number six, I'm sort of cheated a little bit here. I would like to stay in Cinderella's Castle Suite, an Animal Kingdom Lodge Safari View Room, or the Treehouse Villas.
I've got something like that further down.
I could have separated them out, but I'd love to stay in one of those, not one of those things, all three of those. So Cinderella Castle Suite, yeah, which would be a lot harder than the others, admittedly. Animal Kingdom Lodge Savannah View, fairly easy to achieve, or Treehouse Villa. I'd love to stay in those. That would be awesome, just to have experienced at least those three. 6-4, Silver Spike. Try every sandwich at the Earl of Sandwich. It's my kind of guy. Craig Lucas put See Christmas. And Julie has put the Dolphin Experience at Living Seas. So there you go. Just something similar to what Craig put earlier. Right, number five. What have you got? Let's start off in the forums for number five then. So Julie's put... now I quite like this one. Pull the sword from the stone. That's quite cool. Just sit and watch. Just go to the Magic Kingdom and not go any rides. Just take it all in. Yeah, I'd love to just spend a day at Magic Kingdom and just wander. That would be truly awesome. We loved just wandering down Main Street in Disneyland Paris for 3 hours or whatever it was. So just tour a park and just not going anything would be cool. And having put Christmas down as number six, Craig has also put Halloween as number five. Right, what have we got then for number five? What you got, Craig?
Number five, it's kind of, you know, I had like the serious job before, but this is one I would love to do just for one day. I would love to be a character for a day just to see how people react to you as a character. I've stood behind kids, seen how, you know, mine are when they see Mickey Mouse and Donald. I'd love to be Mickey Mouse or Donald and interact with the kids and just make them smile and just be so happy. For a day, I think that would be so kind of fulfilling to do that.
Well, you could go and dress up and actually look like Goofy rather than just being Goofy.
Yeah, I was waiting for the Goofy. Or grumpy jokes or dopey jokes.
Or dopey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that would be cool to be a character. Although apparently that's very hot. Sorry, they're real people.
Yes.
What you're saying is you would like to be friends with Mickey.
Yes, exactly.
Or Donald.
Mickey's handler for the day, his pimp.
Okay. Juz, what's your number five?
See, I thought about character and I thought, no, because I've been a character once and you tend to enjoy it looking back but don't really enjoy it at the time.
I agree with you.
You've been a character.
Yeah, yes. I was Sharky from the Sale Sharks.
Okay, cool.
I was also Gully Mouse in Gulliver's Kingdom when I was a student.
There you go. So it's very restrictive, it's very hot, and you don't know what this is why you need the handler. I appreciate everything that everyone ever did. My number, whatever we're on,
five.
Number five.
Is some way be involved in setting up or something of illuminations during the day?
Oh, that would be cool.
You know, whatever it might be, just having a little bit of whether helping the barge or something and then seeing it at the night, what I've been involved in.
That would be cool.
Awesome.
That's yours. Is that what you're going for? Okay, my number five is I'm going for a sort of special event theme to visit during the International Food and Wine Festival, Christmas and Halloween. Unfortunately, all three of those seasons fall at the wrong time for me because of my job.
Don't worry about it. The public cutbacks, you'll be out of a job soon.
Yeah, when the government decides to sack me, I'll be fine. All three of those events happen just really at the wrong time for me to be able to go out and have a full holiday. And because of that, they're the three things that I'd absolutely love to go out for and see properly. I sort of, last year I got to see Halloween being set up because they were beginning to put things in on the last few days in the Magic Kingdom. But to actually be there for the proper events and go to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas, to be able to go to things like Party in the Senses, go to the Very Merry Not So Scary Halloween as well. Go to all of those things would be awesome. So that's my number five.
Cool.
Okay, number four then. Just start us off with number four.
Right, I've been a bit sort of loose with this again. I'd like to drive one of the boats, and I don't mind if it's a wishes cruise and do the little spiel beforehand. But I'm really quite happy driving the boat from Boardwalk Beach Club across to Hollywood Studios and back, etc. Mm-hmm. You know, just to have a day of doing that, once again, interactive. It's one of those things I looked at the fellas doing and I thought, well, you know, they tend to be the older people anyway, so I related to them. But no, I quite fancy just doing that and ferrying people around. I think a lot of this and what I'm doing now is probably because I'm getting on, and you said bucket list and thinking, oh, what could I do beforehand? Is seeing families, whether it's the first time after, seeing the younger families come in and what Disney did to me, do to them type thing, and being part of that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. What have you got as your number four, Craig?
My number four is, I was thinking about this earlier on when you were talking about the changes to the TTA, and also thinking about how they changed Spaceship Earth and changed the narration. I would like to re-record all of the monorail.
Okay. Know?
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World monorail system. I would love just to be given that job.
Por favor, mantangues. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to redo it. I mean, the guy's voice is kind of, you know, it's one of those voices that will probably never change. But if they ever said, we're going to re-record this all and update it, you know, I would like to be the bloke to do it. Right, mate, get aboard the monorail. Next stop, Magic Kingdom.
Like on the buses.
A British monorail.
First, please.
Yeah. You couldn't, because you can have British monorail, because it would never run on time.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Do you know what? They should have one bit, which occasionally is like a British monorail, like on the buses. That'd be so funny.
Well, that fits in perfectly with my number four, because my number four is to drive a monorail.
Oh, right.
I'd love to drive a monorail. That would be really cool. Even if it was just once. Even if it was that I was stood there with a cast member next to me and he said, all you have to do is just push that lever forward to make it go, that would be awesome. Just to say I've even attempted or half-driven a monorail would be cool. So I'll do the driving. You can be the greeter on the door, Juz, and Craig can be the man doing the spiel.
Yeah. What a team.
There we go. What a team. We can drive the monorails for Disney. Julie's number four was to have the courage to ride on Mission Space. Silver Spikes put Eat My Way Around the World, it's Disney World that is, eat at every sit down, counter service and food cart possible.
Cool, okay? I like that.
Not in one day, I don't think, but that would be cool to tick them all off. And Craig Lucas has put stay at every Disney resort, so that would be cool. Okay, we're starting to get to our top threes now, so these are probably going to get really good. So what have you got for number three, Craig?
Okay, I kind of combined two here because I wanted to get my monorail one in. So the first one is I would like to see, if not stay, I preferably like to stay, but if not, I would just like to go in and see the castle suite. But kind of the second one of that, I would love, you know, I've stayed in the Treehouse Villas, which I was so lucky to do, it was brilliant. And I stayed in the Polynesian, but I would love to kind of stay in the kind of luxury rooms or suites of all of the resorts that have them. So, you know, done concierge level at all of these and stayed in the suites and everything else. I'd love to just tick them all off to say I've done them all.
Okay. That's quite a reserved one. That's quite nice, though. Let's go over to the forum, see what we've got there. Julie Parker wants to be a tour guide on the Great Movie Ride. Silver Spike says number three, usually stay in an area villa to save money, but a six-bedroom house is hardly scrimping. Would like to try a resort at least once, though. So stay at a Disney resort. So obviously he doesn't normally stay at Disney resort, so he'd like to stay at one for a change. That'd be cool. Craig Lucas would like to become a DVC member. That would be his number three. So that's quite cool. Juz, what's your number three?
Sticking with my theme of working for Disney, I'd like to be the driver on Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Harambe!
Yeah.
Wilson, are you still there? You were there 10 minutes ago when I did this loop the first time.
Where's Fred?
My number three is going to the tour idea of what just said earlier, and it will be a backstage tour of the Haunted Mansion. To be able to go down into the ballroom or into the dining room and being able to see all of those things and be able to walk through the graveyard, not even necessarily with the lights, and just be able to walk through and see all of those things would be absolutely awesome. So that would be, that's my number three, my top three, I suppose, would be to take a backstage tour of the Haunted Mansion. That would just be so cool. Number two, let's see what we've got on the forum. So Julie's put, lead the Magic Kingdom parade. That would be her number two.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Good
have
idea.
Either of you two led the parade?
No.
I did. I was told to get out of the way.
Not officially. I guess.
Oh, no. I didn't know you had to be official. Sorry.
I've been lucky enough to be the Grand Marshal for the Magic Kingdom Parade, and you get treated like royalty. It was amazing. Just to be leading down Magic Kingdom, down Main Street and through the whole park, really. Having the band right behind you playing. One of the most magical memories I have from Disney is as we turned from the castle and we came over the bridge, sort of as you were heading in the direction of Liberty Square, just hearing over this tannoy system, we welcome Adam and Zoe Goodger from Daventry England when they said it. And it was just amazing. I've got it on video as well of them saying it. And it's just a truly sort of magical memory. Silver Spikes put to go to Disney Quest. It's there, great big building. It's included in my ticket, but so little time. Disney Quest is cool. I like Disney Quest. There's a lot of people who don't, and we don't get to spend a lot of time there because Zoe's not a big fan. But I really, and it's a shame the Cheesecake Factory has gone from the top as well. But I really like Disney Quest, and it is a cool place to go. So you should go to Disney Quest, even if it's for an afternoon or when you go shopping or something like that. We managed to sneak a great one in 2000 and whenever we went after seven, because. We went out for my brother's wedding, and I convinced Zoe and my mum that we were going for a Disney stag do for my brother to Disney Quest, and got a whole night in Disney Quest just playing computer games. Brilliant. yeah, the things you do, eh? I didn't lie. I just extended the truth.
Yes.
And Craig's put, drink my way around Epcot twice.
Good man.
Or drink my way around Epcot and then falling World Showcase Lagoon is possibly what's going to happen. Right, what's your number two? I'll give you my number two first, which is sort of just number three. I've got to work in Haunted Mansion, Jungle Cruise, or Kilimanjaro Safaris. Work in one of those three. Or all three would be cool as well. I just like the idea of the Jungle Cruise and those corny jokes and be able to do... And it's so over the top and exaggerated. And funny, and you know, some of the things you can get away with. I still remember to this day on the Jungle Cruise and going through Shirley's Temple and him turning the light off and singing a spooky version of It's a Small World. That still makes me laugh now. But one of those three attractions, if not all three, would be cool. Juz, what are you going for number two?
Be a Jungle Cruise skipper for the day. Bizarrely enough, the same as you. Yeah.
There you go then.
I love it. I think it's tacky. I think it's great. I just like to have a go at it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd love to do it. And even I still to this day regret not going and doing the ICP. I still regret not doing it.
Yeah.
To this very day. I could have worked in one of those three attractions.
Do you know what I'd like to do as well as part of that Jungle Cruise together? We went on a back tour once, which is gone now because it's part of Venture Magic Kingdom. And the person who did it took us, kicked the skipper off, and he took us, and he told us all about the whole ride and how it developed, and pointed lots of different things out to us. I'd like to do that as part of it as well. Just go look, but you pull up and go, do you know what? If there's a load of Disney geeks in this queue, this is the boat to be on. Now we're not going to do the standard spiel. We're going to tell you about the ride and do that as well.
That would be cool, just to sort of do it, you know, and talk about the brown water and that sort of stuff. That would be cool. What have you got, Craig?
Okay, mine could be taken a number of ways. You might think it's a bit sycophant, really. But going back to my number six, which was kind of to work, quite a senior job in Walt Disney World, I'd like to be able to have contributed something so worthwhile that they give me my window on Main Street. You know, I don't just want to be given it. I want to earn it. I want to have done something whilst working for them in my career that was so magnificent that they gave me a window and then it would be there forever.
I like that.
Or until they changed too, or they got somebody else more important. But I just, you know, I don't want to be given it. I want to earn it. I want to do something to earn it. And, you know, I want to be given the chance. So step aside, Cockerel. That window's mine.
I like that. Okay. I like that one.
So we're going to our number ones then. Right, let's go to forums first. And let's look at these. So Julie, her number one, her one thing she wants to do before she dies. Keep my eyes open throughout Hotel Tower Terror and Expedition Everest. There you go. Quite simple. Number two, ride Space Mountain. I've still not done it. I always seem to miss it somehow. How annoying is that? And Craig Lucas is to renew my wedding vows with my daughters as Disney princess bridesmaids. That'd be quite nice.
Good.
That'd be cool. Right, so it's our number ones. This is the ultimate on your bucket list that you would want to do. So who's going to give them theirs first? Who's going to give us their number one?
Nobody.
I'm picking straws. Craig.
Me, okay, right. Mine, it's not really, I mean, it depends on what she wants to do, but it's very similar to Craig's, but I would love to see Alex get married at the Grand Floridian with the full, everything, top of the pops, Disney wedding, every option that you could have for her, and to, you know, to be her dad, to give her away. That's what I would love to be my number one to do.
Ah,
cool. Can me and Jos be wedding singers?
Yeah, you can be squirrels.
I'll be a bridesmaid.
Yeah, I would just, you know, like, you know, I saw somebody get married there in the summer, and it's so lovely, and you've got the wedding pavilion, but they, you know, are. I'm sure there's lots of different options you can have, but I, you know, to have the money to give her absolutely everything she wanted, so she had the most perfect Disney beautiful wedding, obviously to see your daughter get married is something very special, so that's, you know, number one cool. for me.
I think it's very poignant for the fact that by the time you get the bill, you will actually have a heart attack, and that will be your last thing you ever wanted.
I've been to a wedding at the Wedding Pavilion, and they are amazing. And one of the thing of you've got sort of almost whether you have a vicar or whether you have, it's just a blessing. Or when they stand up on the staging area at the front of the chapel, you've got Magic Kingdom in a window behind, and you can see Cinderella's castle, which is really cool. But they do some fantastic weddings there. They really are very, very nice. That's a nice one. I like that. It's an unselfish one as well. It's, you know, you've gone for something for somebody else rather than yourself, which is cool.
Bless me all over.
Kieran at the end gets a wedding in the local church around the corner, followed by a booze up in the working man's club.
Exactly. he can have what he's like, isn't he? But he's the lad, isn't he? That, you know, he won't be getting married, really, eh?
Juz, what's your number one?
The same thing.
Shall I do mine first?
Yeah, come on.
Right, my number one is, this is the only one really on my bucket list that is really way out there, the one that I will probably never achieve, but I'd absolutely love to, and that would be to become a Disney Imagineer. I would absolutely love to be a show writer or something like that. The opportunity to be able to sit down and weave those stories for the new attractions and all of those ideas, and, you know, even if it's just a simple story for a shop, or whether it's a story for a brand new attraction, I would absolutely love to be able to do something like that, because I for one would never have written a story for Prince Charming's Regal Carousel.
You can have his job.
I'll have his job. I would just love to become an Imagineer. It would just be a truly awesome job, and to be able to work, you know, knowing that all day I was working in the Magic Kingdom, and I was one of those people who was moving forward. I was one of those people who came up with the story for this or the idea for this, and did all the research. That would be amazing for me. I'm not the sort of person who could be creative in a design way, or creative in the sense that I could be in the construction, but I would just love to be somebody who is there and is part of putting together a new attraction.
Aww. You That's can cool. do it. Yeah.
If you can dream it, you can do it.
Exactly. Just,
what's your number one?
Probably because once again, I'm getting very old. Do you remember Godfather 3? Don Corleone passed away in this garden. Going down that route a bit. Do you know, it's completely selfish, really, I suppose, in a lot of ways. What I'd like to do, whether living or probably dead anyway, I'd like to be in World Showcase. But when it's completely finished, they leave all the lights on for me, everyone's gone, and I can just wander around World Showcase. If that was sort of said, you know, this is your last day before you pop your clogs, that's kind of like what I like to do. I think you'll be at peace at the world there, cool place, and if not, just scatter my ashes there instead. But no, the whole of World Showcase, lights on, dark, everyone's gone home, and just me on my own wandering around.
That would be cool.
That would be very cool.
See, I've seen World Showcase in the day with nobody in there, and that's really cool. But to be at night would be awesome. Does that mean you get a shopping trolley that's empty and you just run? Is it like supermarket sweep World Showcase style?
Shops are all closed, but the lights are all left on.
You've got 5 minutes to run around World Showcase and anything that's in the trolley.
Do you know,
again.
You've taken a very beautiful moment and ruined it.
Sorry. Well, that would be
once
cool,
again.
Sorry.
How many times cool. have you done that?
I know. But World Showcase on your own, yeah, that would be awesome. Would you want to do it on a Segway, or would you want to walk?
No, I'd walk. And preferably it'd been raining a bit, you know, when it's a bit damp in the floor, but yeah. No, just a walk completely.
But if you bear in mind you're quite old, you know, if you'd have slipped and hurt yourself with
I don't care. I don't care if I slip and pop my clogs. This is the last night.
Right.
Cheery.
It's a bucket list, mate. So bucket lists aren't meant to be completely happy, you know.
That's true.
In the film, he didn't complete his last one. Someone had to do it for him.
I had that to watch.
Do you know what? Watch it anyway. It's an amazing film.
What film's that? Which one?
The Bucket List.
Bucket List.
Oh, you see, I've still not watched it. I've not watched it yet.
Oh, well. He doesn't finish them all. Someone else finishes it off. But that's funny. That's the whole point. And that to me, symbolised the Epcot side of things. If I didn't quite manage it, perhaps someone could whiz down there and whack me ashes somewhere, but not in bloody France.
If I was doing that,
there seems to be a strange dusting on these pastries.
You know what? I'm not leaving it in the hand of Craig or that's you. Just puts them.
Imagine it. Funny.
Just always wanted to be in the restrooms in the UK.
Well, I think there was some quite nice lists there, some quite nice ideas.
There was. We could do some more on the forum, and I think we'll post ours on the forum now.
Yeah, there's those on the forum. As recording this, there are those that are on the forum. And no doubt over time, there'll be more and more that will be added as well. But, well, thank you. I enjoyed that. No doubt there are probably... Have you got any more, just before we go, have you got any more that you sort of would have put on your list but didn't quite make the top 10?
There were so many. This is a problem, wasn't there? Things you could do or want to do and...
Yeah.
Things like, I'd like to have had Magic Kingdom to my... Like you've had Epcot to yourself, Jazz. I'd like to have had Magic Kingdom to myself.
Yeah.
Private party. Me and the people that I want there.
I quite like to spend a night in the Magic Kingdom just watching how the operations work at night, just to see what they do and how they do it. That would be quite cool. Or, I don't know, I just got... There's so many different things that I'd love to try and love to do, but that didn't make it onto my top 10. We could talk about this for a long time, I would think, about all the different bits and pieces that we really would love to have a go at or try out. Like, I'd love to go and do the Polynesian Luau. I've still not done that.
Oh, that's great. I'd love to swim in the lake.
Moving on. But there is, you know, Breathless 2, I'd love to go on Breathless 2. And, you know, there's just so many different things that I know we could continue to talk about this for a very, very long time. But there we go. That's our top 10. Please, if you've not been over to the forums, ironlander.com/forum, disneybrick.com/forum, either one, and go and add your bucket list onto the forum thread. Well, thank you for that very poignant, beautiful...
I'm going to go and go and start saving for a wedding.
Oh, I thought that was just popping his clogs. You're going to go and save for a wedding?
Yeah,
Do you know when I see Alex, I'm going to tell her that she can have a Bells and Whistles wedding at Grand Floridian.
You will be dead, so you better do your bucket list quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, she's not allowed a boyfriend at the moment, mate. She's only 8, so back off, eh?
Yeah, she's got to wait a little bit longer. Right, thank you.
Thank you.
Attraction Tickets Direct is the UK's number one ticket provider for Disney, Universal, and the worlds of Discovery Parks. They offer unbeatable prices and expert advice on all the major tickets and attractions in Orlando, California, and Paris. The service Attraction Tickets Direct provides is second to none. Lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive real tickets, not vouchers, within 7 days. And there are no hidden extras, such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. Now that's what you call great service. Log on to www.attractionticketsdirect.com or call free on 0800-975-0002.
Aloha, aloha, aloha.
Many Brits head out to Walt Disney World during one of the hottest parts of the year, and that is summer. We really do descend upon Walt Disney World any time between about July and August. And many people who go out at that time of the year don't always think about the implications of the weather and really how to plan a Walt Disney World holiday at that time. So what we're planning on doing is bringing you some of our tips on surviving summer at Walt Disney World. So joining me is, of course, as always, Jos Griffiths. Hello.
Hello, hello, Disney pub people.
Yeah, you said that twice now, this show.
I know.
But I'll let you off. And we've Thank also you. Got another special guest as well as coming to join us. And that's Craig Duncan, who is more than qualified for the fact that he lives most of his life out in Orlando and spends most of the summer out there. That's right, isn't it?
Well, I try to spend as much as I can out there, yeah. But about three or four times a year normally, yeah.
And you've got a villa out there, is that right?
We have, yes. Yeah, just outside of Orlando, actually, in kind of the next town up. But yeah, it's quite nice, actually, over there. It's in a little village called Claremont. I say village, but it's kind of a town just west of Orlando, really. But many of your listeners would probably have known it because it's on the 27, the okay. famous road, so... Yeah,
you spend most of your summer out there?
We do, yeah. We go, literally we try and go for all of the school holidays. So a couple of days after the kids break up, we'll disappear. And then we'll come back about 3 days before they go back to school.
Okay, sounds great. Well, what we're going to do then is we're going to go around each of us one at a time and sort of give you one of our tips. And we can obviously discuss that a little bit and see where we go from there. So I'll start off then, shall I, with... My first tip, and I think because obviously it gets so warm out there and people are quite hot, quite sweaty, and that can have an impact upon how you feel when you're walking around the parks. One of the first things I thought about was this idea of wearing comfortable shoes. We are obviously going out in August, and my wife has done the most ridiculous amount of research on finding the most comfortable pair of shoes she can find. Because obviously when you get hot, your feet begin to sweat. That then causes blisters, things like that. And I've got a new pair of shoes that I've already bought, and I think if you're going to wear some comfortable shoes and if you're going to buy new ones, always remember, wear them in about a good month before you go, or take plasters, because I think wearing comfortable shoes is such a vital thing, as your feet are one of the most used parts of your body for that whole holiday.
Yeah, I tried going up my wellies once and that really didn't work. So I'd recommend no wellies at all. My wife actually, bizarrely enough, swears by Crocs, and they seem to do her exceptionally well around Disney. But I'm one of these great Brits that, A, never ever normal life wears a bum bag unless I go to Orlando.
Yes.
And B, wouldn't be seen dead in flip-flops until I go to Orlando.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, I don't know, Craig, what's your opinion on comfortable shoes?
Yeah, definitely comfy shoes. I seem to have a pair that I just wear whenever I go into the parks, which are like a kind of pair of, they look like Jesus Creeper sandals, a pair of Timberland sandals, but A, they're open toes, so I can throw water on them, you get them wet on the water rides, and they're very, very comfortable. My wife is, unfortunately, a Croc fan, all these kind of open back sandal things that she can slip her feet in and out of. But you've got to have something comfortable because you walk miles around those parks, as you guys know.
You really do. Okay, Juz, go on. What's your first?
Oh, you've knocked my list down by half now, straight away. Mine's a do and a don't, and you're probably going to disagree with my don't. First time I went out there, I got these little fans with the spray triggers on. Uh-huh. Which I'm going to say I found is a don't, because all that does is gives your kids one quick bit of wetness that immediately then just sizzles and gets them hotter. So what we found, which is really good product placement here, is something called Magi-Cool.
Oh, that's one got off my list. I'll cross that one out.
Which is, I think, I don't know how it does it, probably incredibly bad for the environment, probably just, you know, gases everywhere. But I think it's actually incredible. I don't know how it does it. You get very cold very quickly, and I find it works great for the kids for the back of the necks. And I believe they've got a prickly heat version out now.
They have, yeah. And it's actually reasonably inexpensive for as far as it goes. I think it's Boots are selling it for £4.47 at the moment for 150ml, which lasts a good while.
Mm.
Gosh, okay, I hadn't heard of that one. I had the fan thing down, so I crossed that off, but I was not to buy the Disney ones, to grab one out of Walmart. But you find out that actually they're more funny in a queue when you're queuing for something and all the kids are spraying them at all the adults.
Yeah. So, Craig, what's
yep.
your first on your list then?
Okay, my first one is, I'm trying to be a bit practical here and thinking of, you know, it's easy for me because I just come from a house, but I think if you did this from a hotel, this would be okay if you had a room that maybe had a fridge in it. But the night before, I would have gone to, you know, a supermarket, even one in walking distance if you're nearby, and grabbed some small bottles of water, put them in the fridge, or if you've even got a freezer section, put them in there. And then in your backpack in the morning, I stack them up so they're against my back. So I kind of have four or five bottles just stacked up, all the other stuff in front of it, and I wear that. So A, it cools my back down because I'm walking around, and B, I've got kind of cold water throughout the day. So that's one of the things that I tend to do. I tend not to buy water in the parks, and I have got another water tip later on that'll come on. But obviously in the heat, you know, it can get up to 110 degrees in those parks, and if you've got kids like I have and you guys have, you know, you've got to keep them hydrated, and you just have to keep bottles of water. They either go in the bottom of the stroller or they grab them out of the bag and they're cold, and you know, you can't drink warm water, it's not nice. So grab some water before, freeze it, and it will defrost during the day.
Good idea, I like that. Yeah, especially keeping you cool on your back as well.
Can I point out that Craig's got a whole family there, but Craig's the only one who's nice and cool with all these bottles in his backpack. And all the other kids are like, Dad, go away, I'm cool.
I don't share the backpack.
In our last one of the credit crunch tips you did recently, the idea of freezing Gatorade, wasn't it?
Well, this is where Craig's obviously stolen it from. I agree. I mean, this is one of the big things that we do is we take plastic bottles out with us, and we always either freeze them down, or we take the slightly bigger bottles out, which attach to my fantastically fashionable bum bag. That allow me to put ice cubes in if there's no freezer compartment. And also, as we mentioned before, you can get free ice cubes from Disney, so you can just keep topping it up. But one of my tips was, just to tack on to what you're saying there, is the Gatorade. I get the crystals, and I add this to the water which is out there. Because, A, if you're topping up your ice cubes with the Disney disgusting tasting water, it gets rid of that horrible taste. But, B, the most important thing is the Gatorade-type crystals rehydrate kids. And as soon as your kid's saying they're thirsty, they're already starting the dehydration process. And this is what you've got to keep topping them up. Otherwise, they start falling behind, and you have to leave them. And, you know, you'll be on Big Thunder Mountain, and they'll have kids all over the park.
Okay, right. Well, I'm going to stick with the clothing. And I said about sensible footwear. I'm going to go with sensible clothing as well. And people are probably saying, what do you mean sensible clothing? It's shorts and T-shirt, isn't it? Well, firstly, you're going to be walking around for miles all day in the sun. So you're going to be out in it and you're going to be affected by it. So A, avoid wearing black. As silly as it sounds, black attracts heat. It's going to get you warm. And also, avoid wearing thick clothing. You can pick out who the UK visitors are. It's because they're the ones walking around in thick football shirts in 110 degrees. I've seen it, and I've seen the kids who are half sweltered, half falling over due to exhaustion, wearing the latest Man United shirt because it came out a week before they went on holiday. Don't do it. Don't wear thick clothing. Go for thin T-shirts, shorts, you know, something like flip-flops that can allow your feet to breathe. But sensible clothing is such a big must for me, without a shadow of a doubt.
Except string vests, which is another British thing, isn't it?
No. Or the hanky. The other thing is, if you've got small kids, I know you, Adam, I have as well, is we always take a spare, just short T-shirts, maybe some underwear for them. Just throw them in the backpack because they're going to get sweaty and hot during the day. And, you know, I've gone on to another tip that I've got a bit later on, but they can get changed after lunch or something and then they feel fresher for the afternoon.
Okay, Jules, what's your next one?
Bizarrely, I'm moving away from this bizarre clothes fetish you have, and I hope we're not going to go too far down that
route.
Run out
of clothes one day, it's gone.
Thank goodness for that. I thought it was going to be the thong next. Keep you cool.
I nearly put it on.
It's something I learnt quite early on, and we now have one, which we take to and from Orlando. See, you're intrigued now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
America adores leather in their cars. By God, do they like leather in their cars. And there's nothing more enjoyable from spending a whole day in a theme park to open up your car, which then says 99 degrees in it, and you try and lie back in these leather seats. So what I learned very early on was, get yourself a car screen that goes in your windscreen of your car to try and cool it down a little bit. Walmart does them for about $1. Disney do them for about $35. But, you know, one of them, I've had one for about 5 years now, and it's brilliant. But I kid you not, and you're both, how hot do those cars get when you try and get back in?
Oh, ridiculous. Yeah.
It really is very, very warm. And even if you leave your window open just a smidgen, it makes no difference whatsoever.
I mean, I was going to say, one of the things you can also do with that is, if you haven't got one of those, just borrow a towel from your hotel and keep it in the trunk or boot of your car and just put it on your seat when you get in, because it will take the skin off.
Definitely. Can I point out, it's probably Craig who's got it only on his seat after he's been in that nice, cool backpack all day.
Exactly right.
Okay, Craig, go on. Give us your next one then.
Okay, my next one is actually, this is flowing very well and this wasn't prearranged, is to take a small flannel with you. You think, why the hell do you need a flannel with you? Take a small flannel with you. You can take one out of your hotel, or if you're in a villa, you can probably take one from there or buy one cheap enough. But that is so easy to cool yourselves down. You go to a water fountain, soak it in water, and you can, you know, drip it over the back of your neck or on your face. And, you know, that's a tip that somebody gave me maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And I just take one with us and we share it, Jazz. I don't keep it to myself. but it does really cool you down.
I'm going to add something to that as well, actually.
Go on.
The small flannel, soak it in water the night before, stick it in the freezer.
There you go. Okay.
So that's and put it in his backpack.
Yeah,
so exactly. By the time everyone else gets it, it's roasting.
Right, okay. Exactly. Well, I'm going to stick with the sort of getting wet theme. And my next one is this. Let the kids get wet. Okay, and I think it probably fits a little bit with Craig's bringing a spare set of clothes. You've got Ariel's Grotto. You've got Donald's boat, both in Magic Kingdom, which are designed for kids to go and play in the water. And there's nothing better than to cool them down than to let them just go and get soaking wet in these things and then get them changed afterwards. You know, it gives them a bit of playtime. It gives you a bit of time to maybe find somewhere in the shade to sit down, have a relax. And it lets them just get absolutely soaked and just sort of cool down and relax a little bit. So, you know, don't be worried about your kids getting soaking wet in a theme park. That's the whole point. That's what it's designed to do. So let your kids get wet. That's my next tip.
Yeah, and then their underwear never dries for the whole day.
Big spare underwear, obviously.
Oh, yeah, right. In Craig's cool backpack.
Exactly, yeah. So cool underwear as well. Mine.
Yeah.
Right, Chuz, have you got any left?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm making up as I go along. Actually, mine's two in one, almost. Well, it's one, but then I sort of tack something on.
Oh, is this a bit like the whole of world showcase for the top seven?
That was a valid one. She did all the mountains. I do the whole world showcase.
Yeah, right.
I was tempted to do the whole of Florida. My one is actually take an afternoon break. You know, people go out there and they think they've got to do everything straight away. And, you know, first year we went and did this, we lost a whole day because my eldest at the time had a protein spill in Epcot, which destroyed the whole day. And to survive the hot weather, go out in the morning. It's going to pick up heat around about 12 o'clock. Let everyone else suffer. You come back, chill down, go back out about 3 o'clock. People are starting to move away and it's starting to get cooler, which goes back to the fact that we say, continue on this, try and schedule your holiday. And people look at you as if you're mad going, it's a vacation. Try and make a schedule so that we do this and this. Don't try and just rush and do everything. You'll make yourself very ill. It's very easy to get sunstroke, you know, and take an afternoon break when the sun's at its highest.
I think you've just hit a couple of mine there as well. I put obviously to plan out a trip so you don't do too much too soon. And you're right that if you decide you want to do Magic Kingdom day one, Epcot day two, Hollywood Studios day three, by the time you get to your third day, you'll have ruined your holiday. And by planning that out and by separating out when you want to go, you know, maybe doing Magic Kingdom 2 days off, then doing something else, another day off, you give yourself plenty of time to enjoy your holiday, have that break in the afternoon and not worry about getting too exhausted.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think people see that, you know, you've got to get the maximum out of your day. But, you know, if you've got kids that are tired and 6 o'clock in the evening and you want to stay for the parade and they've just had enough, it's no fun. So I think that's definite. And I think maybe, you know, even if you've got a car, it's not that far to go back. If you're on site, it's very easy to get back to the hotel, have a dip, have a sleep, and then go back for the rest of the day and enjoy it.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Good idea. Right, who's next? I think it's back to you, isn't it, Craig?
It is me. Well, I was going to say, actually, that I'll go against Juz now because I have had, and I do quite a lot because the kids like to, go there for the whole day. So we will get there for rope drop and we will leave at kind of, you know, 11 o'clock at night. And I survive that by having a nice lunch. So I book a nice ADR in whatever park I'm in. I find a nice restaurant, normally a character one. because obviously the kids like that. And I kind of make sure I get there for 12:30 when it gets hot. And, you know, I'm in no rush to be seated and I enjoy it. And we take our time. We're in air conditioned. We have nice food. We rehydrate, we enjoy ourselves. And we'll kind of come out there at 2:30, maybe 2:45. And we'll just, you know, that way breaks up our day. Because being out in that sun, as you say, I don't particularly want to drive all the way back to the house. So that's what we tend to do to break up the day. So if you want to stay there all day, or if you're quite a long way away from the park and you don't want to go back, you know, book yourself out a nice lunch and you know, get out of the heat that way.
Yeah, I think you're right about doing something indoors, like going for a long lunch or something like that. I see where people say go back to your hotel, etc., and that's fine. I think you're right. If you're staying a long way away, it's not always viable. But it's like if you're going to Epcot, save Interventions for 3 hours in the middle of the day, because you're indoors, it's air conditioned, doesn't matter how hot it is outside, you know, that's not going to affect you. It means you queue half an hour for Stormstruck, or, you know, for the Interventions House of the Future, you queue half an hour, but it's still giving you the experience. You're still doing something, but you're out of the sun. Obviously, things like Animal Kingdom is a lot harder. Hollywood Studios isn't as bad. There's still a few places indoors, but you're right. I'm very much in the mind of, you know, if my hotel's close, I will quite happily go back. And I think the other thing we have to take into mind is, just because I'm happy to stay in a park all day doesn't mean the rest of my group are. And it's about those decisions. It's about saying, okay, collectively, what do we want to do? Because then because if suddenly you dominate something and everyone else doesn't want to do it, that's the point where your holiday starts to be ruined, because the arguments start. But I think you're right. I think you don't have to leave the park. Lovely to do it if you can, and I think it's something we will think about doing. But yeah, book yourself a nice meal, go somewhere nice and spend a good few hours in a restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't, you know, you don't want to have lunch because you've brought sandwiches with you, you know, at the Magic Kingdom, for example, we've many times kind of saved things like Philomagic and stuff like that to around the lunchtime. And even if, you know, it's a fast pass attraction, we've got our fast pass early because they're valid for the whole day, even if you've gone past the time. Not many people know that, but they are. And you can just go along at lunchtime when it's really hot and kind of have half an hour out the sun that way.
God, Jules, have you got a defence for your argument?
Well, actually, I was thinking I'm not going to stay at Craig's Villa, because when he said next town along, obviously he meant Tampa. That's the reason. He's not coming back for lunch.
Yeah, it's quite a long way. No, I think the thing is that, I mean, you know, if you're at Magic Kingdom, I mean, we all know how long it takes to get back to your car. So, you know, that's a long trek, and you've got children with you and they're getting hot and bothered. You know, the other parks, it's not too bad. We're only probably about 20 minutes from the Animal Kingdom, just so if you're there, you can pop back for a beer and a swim. How's that?
I think what you've hit the nail on the head, Adam, is really, it's what I was going to tag on before, is bearing in mind you can only go as fast as your slowest member. And there's been that many times where I've gone, oh, I want to go and do this, and you get that look from me, the wife or the kids, just crying is too much and bringing attention to you, that you do have to call it a day, or how you manage that. And I think nobody knows their family better than their family member. And I think some will come back, some will perhaps stay out and do exactly what you've done and say, well, let's do this here, here and here. And I think it's up to that family to decide. I think what we're all in agreement of saying is, be really careful about pushing your family a little bit too far. 14 days, you can do an awful lot in 14 days.
Right, let's move on then. I think it's back to me, isn't it? Here's another tip for not getting yourself overheated. Obviously, we've talked a lot about making sure you drink plenty, that sort of stuff, but if you do find you get overheated, you're getting warm, you're struggling, and you need to sort of help yourself, here's a little tip. Grab an ice cube and put it on your wrist where your pulse is. Now, because of how cold the ice cube is, it rapidly lowers your core body temperature. That brings down the sweating, brings down your heat, and should make you feel a little more comfortable. So, very, very easy. As Jess has already said, you can go and ask for ice cubes. In fact, you can go to a counter service restaurant, counter service, and ask for a cup of iced water, and they will give it to you for absolutely nothing. You'll get a cup, you can keep your cup, take it with you, and refill it during the day. But ice cube on your pulse on your wrist, and it'll bring your core body temperature down.
Exactly. I agree with that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, definitely.
Jess.
Right. I think God has blessed Floridians with something called aircon, something that most people in the UK probably have never heard these words uttered before. And you know what? Use it. If you go from one end of a park to another end of the park, you'll find that most shops go through it. use the aircon. It's unbelievable how just that little walk through can chill yourself down. I mean, don't stand right underneath it because then you're giving your body some massive thermal shocking. But utilize the aircon there. You know, it's something that we're not used to here. And it's definitely, you can see why everyone uses it. Just Epcot's a prime example, isn't it? Mm. You can go from one side to the other side of Epcot and go through several buildings worth of aircon. Use it.
Yeah, definitely. I think as Brits are very aware of not using aircon, like if we get it in our cars, obviously, as I think along with that is in your car, use your aircon. You know, yes, it'll use up some of your petrol, but at the end of the day, you don't use your car that much anyway. It might cost you $30 or $40 more in petrol over the span of a couple of weeks, maybe, but use it. You know, over in this country, if you've got aircon in your car, the last week it got to 27, 28 degrees here in the UK and it got hot. And I went, aircon on? Oh, no, it'll use petrol. We'll just open the window. In America, use the aircon in your car as well. Just get that on and just get it blasted and get the family cooled down as soon as you're there. So I think, you know, aircon is godsend while you're out there without a shadow of a doubt. Right, Craig, go on then.
Okay, one I'm going to say now is probably aimed at those going with families. If you think, you know, your kids are maybe a bit too old for a buggy or a stroller, don't underestimate that when you're there for the whole day. So my youngest is coming up to 5 and he's only probably now just doing the parks without taking out the cheap buggy we have with us there. When we go all day, you know, even my 7-year-old, she'll sit in the buggy when she gets tired. We'll pull over to the side somewhere shady. We'll grab a drink and, you know, very often or not, they'll have a little snooze between them in the buggy. So, you know, I wouldn't rent them from Disney. The cost that they charge is ridiculous. But, you know, we all know that you can pick them up cheaply from Walmart. Or if you've got, you know, an older one at home, it doesn't cost anything to take on the plane.
Or a Quinny.
Or a Quinny, yeah. Well, they're the posh ones, aren't they?
Yeah. We're taking our Quinny just because it's yeah. So small.
Exactly, yeah, we have a, well, older, but little old McLaren thing that we've, you know, we keep in the garage over there. But, you know, take it with you. It's easy to take around with the parks. You know, you can leave it at ride. You can leave it at one ride all day if you don't want to carry around with it and push it around. But they really do use them, you know, and come the evening when they're waiting for the fireworks, so often or not, mine have fought over who's going to have a nap in the buggy waiting for the fireworks because they're desperate to see them but desperately tired. So I would think, you know, even if you thought you don't want them, maybe just get one for if you're going to be there all day.
Good. Yeah, good idea. Certainly, you know, you can get them for something like $10 or $11 in the supermarkets.
Yeah.
Which is nothing, really. Okay, I'm going to take a different tack. We've talked about the sun. We've talked about how hot it gets. And we haven't so far talked about the rain. And for those who are going out in the summer, you need to be aware of the rain showers. Now, it's very rare in the summer in Florida you get an entire day of rain. But it is almost certain, it's about 98% certainty, I would say, that at some point during your day, it's going to rain. And we're not talking a piddly little bit of rain like it is outside my window at this moment. It's torrential. It comes down. It usually brings thunderstorms with it. And it's about planning for the rain. You know it's going to come. Again, it's maybe that moment where you think, right, we'll go and look inside some shops or we'll go and do an indoor attraction at this point. Because if you get caught in it and you don't have anything to protect yourself from it, you will get soaked. And that's a promise. You will get absolutely soaked. It's not like Pirates of the Caribbean where you may get wet on this ride. You will get absolutely drenched. Now, sun will come out and it will dry you off again. But be aware that kids, little kids especially, if they get caught out in that rain and they're dripping wet and they've got nothing to get changed into, then that's when they're going to get upset. So it's just a warning, really. Just be aware that there will be rain. You can almost set your clock by it. It's about 3:30 in the afternoon, yep. Normally, isn't it? And it'll come down for 10-15 minutes, and that's it. It'll be like nothing has happened. And half hour later, everything will be dry again.
Yep, definitely. And what I like to do when it rains is I always try, if I'm in the Magic Kingdom, is go on Thunder Mountain. To me, it's just awesome in the rain, and you've got, you know, it pouring down, and I quite like getting wet, and the kids don't mind getting too.
My whole argument out of the window.
Yeah, but you know, as you say, you dry off, and I have spare clothes in the backpack, so I'm prepared for this, Adam. What I refused to do, actually, it was quite. I'll tell you a very quick story. But last summer, you probably remember Hurricane Faye. Mm-hmm. So, out of my kind of 30 odd days over there, 11 of which rained. Now, I've got quite a long list of things to do in the rain, but I was exhausted. So, you know, we went to the parks, we went to Hollywood Studios, and I gave in and I bought a poncho because the rain was so much. And, you know, without it, we would have been drowned rats. But I wouldn't bother with a puncho. I would kind of go out of the rain when it really thunders down. When it just starts to ease off, grab a ride because there's no queues. And if the kids get really wet, you know, because you followed our tips, you've got some spare undies in your backpack, just change them.
Excellent. Juz, what have we got next?
Actually, can I comment on that one just quickly, then? Yeah. Don't mind me. Actually, a couple of things. First of all, I was across there with, when it was Hurricane Fane. The bizarrest thing was you went to the parks and the only people there were British. Because it's like, yeah, this is like what we get in Manchester. It's like, hello. There was no Americans everywhere. They were all held up.
They were all at Home Depot buying sandbags.
Yeah, we were going, yeah, we just left this. But what I was going to mention on there is the fact that, A, the weathermen are the only people I know in this world who go, yes, it's going to be torrential downpour at 3:31. And you stood in the sunshine at 3:30, go, what liars. And then you're wet at 3:31. Something I'll be, just to touch on with the rain side of things, is you have never driven in anything like these downpours. I've been caught a couple of times. You end up peeling your fingernails off the steering wheel like Planes, Trains and Automobiles film. It is not at all, any way, shape or form, funny to drive in these thunderstorms. Right. You cannot see a blind thing. There's trucks flying past you at high speed. You'll suddenly go under a bridge and there'll be no rain and then get hit, and it's really heavy. I would say watch the weather forecast, and something I would always say is never, ever try to drive in this rain. It is scary as hell.
Yeah, you can stop, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So the roads flood as well, don't they?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they get rain and the drainage is dreadful. You think they've got water underneath there or something.
Right, go on, what's your next one?
Mine is more just probably common sense, and it's something that's very easy to forget, is sun cream. You're there to have a great time. The kids are all desperate to go out. Just sunscreen everybody up. You know, it's basic bizarre things like, A, you're suddenly wearing flip-flops, sunscreen your feet because there's nothing more painful than sunburnt feet, and the backs of the necks. It is very hot. You tend to forget about the sun because you're having a good time. You remember about it at night when you go back home and you're at an absolute agony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're like me and you have your hair cut by numbers, then I'm going to do a bit of product placement now. There's a product that I use, Banana Boat Body and Scalp, and it's a spray, a little orange container, and it actually comes, when you normally buy it, you come with a very small trial size one that I just keep in my pocket when I'm walking around the parks, and whenever the kids go past, they get a squirt. But that's so easy to put on. You know, there's no rubbing it in. You can just get them as they're running past and squirt them and put it on your bonce as well. Otherwise, that does hurt, doesn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
I wouldn't know. I've got hair.
No, oh, show off.
Great. What's your next one?
Okay, mine's one for somebody that likes to plan and maybe save a bit of money. In loads of the supermarkets, they will sell polystyrene coolers. They're very cheap. You can buy them. You can stock them up with anything, really. I mean, food, drink, things. You can either, and I've seen people do this, you can either take them into the park. The security guards are quite okay if they check them and put them in a locker. Or if you're at one of the parks where you're not at the ticket transportation centre, you can put them in the trunk of your car and go back to the car. But, you know, it's amazing. They do work. They do keep things really cool. And you can go back to your car or to the locker, grab a drink, grab some cold fruit or something for the kids. And that's, you know, that saves you money because it's very expensive to keep buying drinks in the summer at, you know, $2.50 a bottle of water or whatever it is now. And I have seen people take these in and put them in lockers, and the security guards really don't mind at all.
Good tip. Okay, my next one then. Let's move on. I'm running out now, I must admit. I've got many left. It's got to be this. Go to the toilet a lot. And by doing that, that's by drinking more than you would imagine. As just said earlier on, if you're thirsty, you're dehydrated. And it's about constantly taking a drink. If you're just about to go into an attraction, have a drink. As soon as you come out of the attraction, have a drink. And I'm not talking about a whole bottle. I'm just talking about sipping water all the way through the day. There's no way you can drink too much water. If you can come out of a park at the end of the day knowing that you've not been dehydrated at any point, do it. And one of the worst things you can do is to drink is soda. Worst thing, because it doesn't help you at all. All the sugar inside that doesn't help your body to keep rehydrated. So it's stick to water, stick to still drinks. Don't put anything fizzy inside you at all during the day. So that's my tip.
And they've got the nicest toilets in the world, so why not?
Well, exactly, they have, yeah. Okay, Juz.
Right, if we could edit Craig's bit out so I could say the coolers first to make him look stupid.
I'm sure I could do that.
I'm really scraping the barrel on my last one, but this is one I just loved up for the fun of it. You know what? Middle of summer, no better place. Epcot, Coca-Cola, Ice Station Cool. We spend hours in there. So, yeah, forget all the other tips. Just go straight to Epcot's Ice Station Cool and just sit and drink all day. Fizzy drinks.
Yeah, and also go in there and take somebody who's never been before and tell them that Beverly is the best drink you have ever tasted.
Oh, yeah.
Get the camera out and just wait for the reaction.
But I'm not being funny, but how come every time you go, you still got to taste it, haven't you? And go, is it as bad as I remember? Oh, God, yeah.
you really have. Okay, so Ice Station Cool. It is cool in there, though. Yeah, I must admit. And it is quite nice just to have a taste of all those different drinks in there, which is...
It's a chill time, isn't it?
It is definitely chill time. Craig, then. Go on, then. Okay. Next one.
All right. Well, I'll combine a couple here, because, as I said, I kind of split them out a little bit to make the list longer. I'm not really a big fan of extra magic hours, but if you're staying in property and there's one in the morning, there's extra magic hours in the morning, or if you're not staying on property and you've checked the crowd calendar and there isn't extra magic hours there, get there very, very early, because, you know, it's kind of bearable in the morning. You can do the majority of the rides that you must do, and then you can kind of take it easier for the rest of the day. So you can kind of charge around until kind of 10:30, 11 o'clock. You've had 2 hours in the parks. You've probably done all of the key killer rides. You've picked up fast passes for the rest of the day. And, you know, you can just take it easy. You're not trudging from one end of the park to the other, rushing to get on a ride and get back in line for the parade. So, you know, use the crowd calendars. Use the calendar on the Disney World website. It will tell you what's on every day, whether there's magic hours and what time they are, so you know whether that's a day to avoid or not.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. But also on the flip side, I think we can also look at this extra magic hours by saying use extra magic hours. The parks are quite often open until midnight. If you're not taking small children and you've got Magic Kingdom open until midnight, plus then you've got 3 hours extra magic hour, you've got a park open until 3 a.m. there. And if you're a bit of a night bird, you can stay up and you can do it properly. Use that extra magic hour. Go in the morning, have a nice long afternoon off where you will be able to go back to your hotel, and then stay back in the parks until very late into the early morning, I suppose. So I think you're right. Extra magic hours, if you're not going to use it, is a hindrance, but also at the same time, it can be quite a help as well. I think I've just snuck one in there, haven't I?
You did.
Look at that. That's clever. Okay, I'm going to give you my last one, really. I've got two, which one of them's a bit of a... just put it down anyway, which was, if you can, take a longer holiday. just because you can. But my actual last one, really, goes back to, again, a bit of a water theme, I suppose. And this is not just a Walt Disney World's tip. This is sort of a tip for any water park you go to. And they have installed these very ingenious misters, these things that sort of are on the ceiling, maybe in queues or outside of rides, usually in the shade. And if you are getting hot or you're waiting for somebody to come off an attraction or something else and you see a mister, just go and stand in it for 5 minutes and just enjoy it. Admittedly, when you come out, you do feel a little bit warm, but it will cool you down for those few minutes that you're in there and make you feel a little bit better. So definitely misters is the last one on my list. I'm out. That's it. I'm done.
No, you're rubbish. You are. I'm going to make one up now quickly then. So we go one more. Tell you what, I've made one up. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Okay. When you're at Stormalong Bay... never walk on the marble staircase.
Oh, yes, that's a good one.
I have never stood on anything. My daughter was screaming her head off. I went up and said, what's the matter? Said, my feet are stuck. So I picked her up and I made the mistake. I thought I could walk over this bridge. I have never had to put such a brave face on with tears running down my eyes. Stormalong Bay, never walk on the marble staircases.
It's a great fun to watch people, though, because you see them walk up slowly and actually they're running by the time they get to the end, because it's the only way they can get to the top.
You hit the part where you're not sure if you can go back or go forward.
Right, okay, Craig. Have you got any left?
I mean, I've just got some general kind of, I suppose, honourable mention, yeah. just things to just talk about. I think, you know, a lot of what we've said, you know, I tend to go, when I go to the parks with the children and my wife, we will go all day. And that's just what they want to do, because I don't take them there that often when we're over there. But, you know, if you're over there on an ultimate ticket and you can go as many times as you like, you don't have to go there all day. You know, that you, as you said earlier on, Adam, you know, spread it out. Just do mornings, just do evenings. You know, you don't have to do the whole day. The other thing I would say is, you know, that apart from the Animal Kingdom, really, all the other parks have lots of shading areas, lots of places you can just sit down, you can people watch, you can just take 10 minutes out. And 10 minutes isn't a lot of time, but, it, you know, it just slows you down and cools you down. So, you know, even spy some when you're walking along, you know, walk down Main Street, think over by Casey's Corner, you can kind of sit down there by the baby changing area. That's a very cool place to sit down and relax. That's really beautifully air conditioned. If you've got kids, you can go in there, you know, the babies can get changed, and you know, you can kind of waste half an hour in there as well. So just keep an eye about what you're doing. Don't rush around doing everything. It doesn't all have to be done in a day. If you've got the sort of ticket where you can go back, you know, whenever you like, do it. You know, why not?
Okay, so there we go then. That is our tips on how to survive summer at Walt Disney World. No doubt you'll have some of your own that we may not have mentioned, although I think we had a pretty comprehensive list. And if you have, please do send them to disneybrit@hotmail.com. We'll make sure we include them in the listener section when we get to that on another episode of the show. Well, thank you, Craig, for joining us.
My pleasure.
Tips there have been really, really useful. And there's some that, you know, even I hadn't thought about. And again, thank you, Juz, as always, for joining us.
Pleasure.
And, well, that's it. If you are going out this summer, hope you have a fantastic time, and let us know how it goes. Send us a voicemail, as you now know that we have the new number.
Flexible. Simple. Value. Secure. Honest. And trusted. They are some of the words that people think of when they book their Orlando holiday. And they are exactly the same words that people associate with CompleteOrlando.co.uk. With staff available 7 days a week, there are no better people to use. Contact the Orlando experts on 0800-294-8844 or visit www.CompleteOrlando.co.uk.
Disney Island Discs has returned. A couple of weeks ago, probably about 3 weeks ago now, we did our live chat. People were asking, is Disney Island Discs coming back? And we told everybody it was coming back on episode 46. We just ran out of time. We just used up all our time. So here we are, episode 47. We're bringing you Disney Island Discs. And this time, it's Juz's turn to bring us the top three songs that he would take to him on a desert island. The rules are simple. You are stranded on a desert island. You can take three Disney songs with you. That's it. On your iPod, we can only take three, and you've got to tell us what they are and why you're taking them. So they might have significance to different things. Craig had significance for some of his. So, Juz, it is your turn to give us your three. So what would be the first song? So at number three, what would be the first song you'd take on the island with you and why?
Well, luckily, I got the slightly bigger iPod, so I get 3.5 songs.
All right, I see.
Something and you get a line from up as well you can take with you.
Yeah. Of course, the first one's Firestarter. Is that is a Disney song? No?
Firestarter, no.
No, okay, that's out of the window then. God, this was really hard work. It was hard work and incredibly sad, so I just ended up weeping. So a couple of weeks ago, I was weeping over Toy Story, now weeping over this. Then you announced the bucket list, which meant I was nearly dead. So
you know, we've already heard the bucket list.
That made me cry. So
so you've died and been stranded on a desert island in one show.
It's like Lost. So basically, desert island's purgatory, just like Lost.
Yeah.
And my purgatory would be Adam. Okay, so number three. This is in order, but the reason there is a half, because it's really very short, one of the pieces of music, but this one isn't. It's actually from a film I really like, but I don't think got great acclaim. I don't think we ever discussed it. It's from Brother Bear.
Yeah.
It's a film I love, and I think it got slammed quite a bit, if I remember
correctly. I like Brother Bear.
And it's Transformation, by the Hungarian Women's Choir.
Brilliant. So not the Phil Collins version, the Hungarian Women's Choir version.
Phil Collins' version is tats like him. But the Hungarian Women's Choir, it's just, I think Brother Bear is a really, we discussed this a few weeks ago about Toy Story, a really moving film about, you know, changes in life and adulthood, etc. And I just think that was a really moving piece of music when I heard it. I love Brother Bear. I think it's a great film.
Is it just that you like the music, or is there any significance to it?
So do you want significance as well? No, I just, I don't know what it was. No, I think, yes, the significance is when I changed to a bear once.
Jussie Bear.
Jussie Bear. No, I think this is, no, I just love that kind. That is a real get into your soul music. And I've always, something I whack up to full volume when I'm out, I say running, but more like meandering, lobbering across the road. But no, I just have significance because it's something I run to nowadays. I just think it's something that gets right into your soul. I wish it was longer. It's quite a short song.
It is, yeah. Okay, so that's your number three.
Did Craig like Brother Bear? He didn't say anything.
No, Brother Bear's my Ratatouille of you. I've never seen it.
Okay.
So I have to see that now, Jussie Bear, because I don't know Jussie Bear and Brother Bear. That's the significance, because you're both bears.
Yeah, I think you'll find it very moving.
What's your number two, then?
Yeah, no, it isn't really. It's my number three.
What's your number three, sorry?
Soaring. Theme music from Soaring. It's just a ride, and we went out there not long after it opened over there, and it's something that we always do as a family. We all love it as a family, and I think the music's just incredible. You could, and nowadays I listen to it and I know the whole, you can visualize it all going through your head, and I find that to me is if they could do an attraction that I could sit and listen to the music to and see everything that's going on the screen without being there, to me, it is an attraction that is the imaginations that Imagineers have done their job. It's truly amazing to do that.
Yeah.
And so, Soaring for me, dude.
Okay, cool. So, Soaring.
No arguments there, Jazzy. No.
Thank you.
I do like Soaring, I must admit. That is a good piece of music. Right, so you're number two then. What are we going for on number two?
This is my half, because it's really, really short piece of music.
So what was Brother Bear then?
Brother Bear was... No, that wasn't my half. That was my
Brother Bear's. Yeah, sort of. Okay.
Full, okay. Full, half full. But just happens to be in order that my half is my second favourite piece of music.
Right.
Are you not paying attention to this at all, or not now?
Apparently, yeah, we were doing it properly. I'm pretty sure it was only three, but okay, go on.
I did ask permission for a half, and you said yes.
Yeah, you did. Yes, because there was a short piece of music, therefore there's enough space left on his iPod.
Yeah, so bleh. So Transformation is shortish, so it's your minds to fears. So Transformation is my full one, but it's number four. Soaring is a full one, my number three. This one is a half a one, and it's number two.
Okay.
And it's half a one because it's actually just part of an attraction music.
Rob.
And it is Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
And it's the finale music. As you're coming down backwards and you're starting to see everything disappear away in the solar system, and it's ruined a bit with that stupid talking at the moment, but you're coming down from that, and I find the music is incredibly uplifting. I mean, Trace is usually asleep at this point, because we usually go into Spaceship Earth and she falls asleep for some reason. I think it's just the cooler. I'm wide awake,
And I just find the music is incredible. I think the whole ride is awesome, but it finishes off when, you know, you are a spaceship Earth. Oh, gee, we are. And you're seeing yourself move away from Earth. And I just think it's an incredible piece of music that's overlooked quite a lot.
So we're going for the new version of the music, which was written, and we're going for the finale of the newer piece of music. Is that right?
It's the same music, I believe.
Oh, is it?
The same finale music. Oh. As you're going down, I'm sure it's the same.
Okay, well, we'll make sure we put in the correct one.
You too, otherwise I'm just not playing anymore.
That's fine. So that's your number two then. Well, that leaves your number one, which we're going to play right at the end of this show. And I think I know what your number one is already, because you haven't mentioned it yet, and you were always talking about it.
Read him like a book.
We can read him like a book. So,
a Minnie Mouse book.
What is your number one? What is the one song you want to take
away? Right, my number one... It is a loophole I found because Adam said I couldn't have 4.5. So I've tagged something on here which I think I can legitimately tag on, and I'm going to run it past my lawyer. and it is something you can ever, ever guess what it is.
I know what it is, I think.
It's Illuminations. And it is what I've first of all what I've included is of course Act One, Chaos Order, then The Meaning, which is We Go On, which is an amazing piece of music.
The song that comes right at the very end.
Yeah, the Kelly Coffey song, We Go On. But I've cheated a bit here. I've tagged on Promise as well. Now Promise is the music when everyone starts to walk out, and once again it's sung by Kelly Coffey. So I've included it as part of the whole Illuminations bundle. I think legitimately I can do that.
Yeah.
But you don't have to play that bit. Promise is really hard, by the way, to come to. I've managed to get hold of a copy, but it's on CD. And what it is the fact that the whole Illuminations is somewhere that you could sit, and I'm quite openly, I will have a good weep on Illuminations. And I think We Go On is a piece of music that just sums up everything about all of us and how we move on. And Promise actually... reiterates that, because it links in, because it, you know, she says We Go On several times in Promise, and that's about the partnership. And it's very, if you listen to Promise, the words are very much around, you know, I've been married for 2,000 years now, very much about, you know, I relate to me and Trace, because it's about the good times and the bad times, that we've always been there together. And yeah. I think there's a lot, and I think that's the whole thing about Illuminations. It's all about coming together and the vision of the future. And I think, without a shadow of doubt, I mean, I said beforehand, I said it's the fact that the first day we spoke, we both talked about Illuminations. And we both bizarrely ended up playing it at the same time without knowing. And I think you can't talk to anyone about Illuminations without people going, yeah, it always makes me shed a tear. Mm. I just think it's one of the best shows on Earth. If anyone disagrees, I'll bop them. Go on.
We're talking about the music from Illuminations Reflections of Earth, yes?
Illuminations Reflection of Earth, which is the music is Chaos Order, and the Chanel finale, which is We Go On, and the post show of Promise.
So your number one is Act One of Illuminations, We Go On, and Promises.
Act One, Act Two, and We Go On, and Promises.
Cool. That sounds good.
And all the other music that leads on the way out. And then the music of as you're going through International Gateway, because it's all the same music. And then the music into the boardwalk when I've walked in, because I'm still sort of staggering around.
Well, in that case, we won't be playing any of the other segments on this show. We're just playing this and Juz's selection of music.
Do you know what? I must say, you said this, and it's and I went in with very much, and then you end up thinking, actually, that means something to me. And that it's very hard to do. But it's bizarrely that I ended up, I think I'm more convinced than ever before, yes. Even though even though Epcot was classed by Craig as being someone who's over 60, dying kind of place where old farts seem to like more than anything else, I might be getting to
that category.
I might be getting into that category because I find myself more and more completely and utterly in love with Epcot more than any other park.
There's no problem with that.
So I'm on my way out, guys. So
that's it. Best. Well, as you've just heard, just his bucket list. He wants to walk around Epcot on his own anyway and die there. So it's all fine.
You know what we'll be playing on Orlando Sky Radio all of tomorrow, don't you? Illumination repeat.
Illumination loop. Well, thank you, Jez.
Hey, it's always a pleasure for you. Lovely, lovely people.
Aren't we lovely people?
Sorry, mate, Craig.
So that just means that it's just me now. I've just got to do mine, and then we're going to open it up to the floor to all of our listeners and people like that to come on and give us their Disney Island disc, which would be cool. So thank you very much, and you will now be hearing at the end of the show Illuminations Act 1, followed by We Go On, followed by Promises. So let's hope you're not going to go out anywhere this evening.
Sorry about that. Listen to the words of Promises, though, and you tell me if you don't weep.
That's true. Well, thank you, Jez. Thank you for your selection.
I love you all, guys.
Hold up, Jesse.
I'm on my way out.
Well, there you go, that wraps that show up into a nice little bundle. Thank you again for joining us, and thank you as always to our sponsors, Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can find them at attractiontickets.co.uk and completeorlando.co.uk. Thanks again to Juz and Craig, who join me as we go through those bucket lists. I'm sure we'll try and get them finished eventually. Thank you also to those of you who sent us emails, and to those of you who have sent us voicemails, particularly for our next show, which is our two-year anniversary. Thank you to all of you who have sent in your two-anniversary messages. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Please continue to email us your questions, comments, and suggestions at podcast@disneybrit.com. You can still ring our voicemail, numbers 0121 288 2858, or if you are in the US, it's 407 545 7980. Keep checking out our website. We've updated the website recently, loads of different bits and pieces on there now, which is disneybrit.com. Of course, you've got our Facebook and fan page over there as well. And you can still friend up myself, Juz, and Craig on Facebook. Continue to leave us those reviews on iTunes, please. It's really great that people are doing that, and that really is bringing new listeners to the show. And please let people know about the show, whether you tweet it out, whether you put it on your Facebook status, whether you put it on forums. Please let people know about the show, because we only do it because we know you guys enjoy it. You've got our YouTube channel, Disney Brit Podcast, and don't forget our sister podcast, Eye on Orlando, and our forum. If you're not already signed up to our forum, go over eyeonorlando.com/forum. You can sign up there and you can join in with all the different conversations and bits and pieces that go on over there, including our very own bucket list forum topic, which is over there. So please go over and join that. And that really rounds up this show. There is only one more thing to tell you, and that is the next edition of the Disney Brit Podcast will be on Wednesday, the 18th of August, exactly 2 years after the first show aired. So please join us for that very special second anniversary show. This might be the end of the regular part of the show, but don't forget that straight after this piece of Enchanted Music finishes, you are going to get fully played the beginning two segments, Act 1 and Act 2 of Illuminations, followed by We Go On, and then Promises for you to be able to listen to. They are just his number one in his Disney Island discs. So enjoy them, and then until next time, I'll see you.
the stillness of the night, there comes a time to understand, to reach out and touch tomorrow, take the future in our hand. We can see a new horizon built on all that we have done, and our dreams begin another thousand circles around the sun. We go on to the joy and through the tears. We go on to discover new frontiers. We go on with the current of the year. We go on moving forward now as one. We go on with the spirit born to run. We go on with each rising sun to a new day. We go
as a new day dawns, we'll go on.